Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome in Doug Lamorese from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Doug, real quick, I know we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of what you wrote about the Indians trying to provide a blueprint to where maybe they could actually get into the postseason after all. But we were having this debate because sometimes some of these kids go to college after they've been drafted to try to make even more money. Would you, Doug, take the, what was it, $2.8 million signing bonus with the Indians now? Or would you go to college, wait 3 years, and try to become a top five draft pick and make many millions more?
Yeah, I think I'd probably take the money now and lock it in. And if you believe in yourself and you think you're going to be a really good major leaguer, you're going to make up all that money anyway. And then whether it's $3 million or $10 million, that's not going to seem like that big of a deal if you're signing a huge contract later. But in the meantime, $3 million sets you up for life, sort of, no matter what. So I'd go. I'd take it now.
Well, it's amazing. I check out the Indians Facebook, and why wouldn't I? Chris writes, once he hits the majors and becomes really good, the Dolans will trade him away. Enjoy him while you have him. If you're that cheap, sell the team to someone who can re-sign our talent. Good morning, everybody.
Doug, this is the worst it's been when it comes to the Indians and this fan base since the Manny Acta years, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, but I do think... I do think the perception is worse than the reality, but, you know, we have a combined thing of kind of a boring team, a view of a cheap team, but actually, you know, it's not like they're 15 games under 500, but I think a lot has gone into how people are feeling about this team, and that is the Indians' fault, that they've taken a three-time division champion who has competed at the highest level of Major League Baseball and made people feel this way about it. And it starts with the financial stuff, and then the average on field play is quadrupling the pain.
All right, Doug, you did provide this blueprint potentially for the Indians to make the postseason. You had it down to, what, a 0.7% chance to win 0.7. Their fourth straight American League Central crown?
Sounds plausible.
It's happened once in the last 24 years among the division winners that anybody more than 10 games out on June 1st has won the division. So that's the bleak outlook of usually when you're this far behind, this far into the season, the division race is over. Now, I did take that and say I do think there are things in place in that the Indians as a team that's chasing still has a bunch of guys that have won a lot. They have a manager who's won a lot. And the Twins, the team in the lead, I think maybe some people are overestimating the Twins. There's a lot of guys on the Twins right now who are playing at a level they've never played at before. So the idea that the Twins are on a pace to win 110 games and they aren't going to come back to earth a little bit, I think that's unrealistic. I think they are going to come back. But usually 10 games out, and they're 11 and a half out now. This far out into June, usually you're done.
Doug Lamorese joining us on the show. So what would you do? What would Doug Lamorese's plan be for this Cleveland Indians ball club?
I would trade Bauer to try to get hitting that helps you for the future but also helps you now, which is what they should have done in the offseason. And then I'd ride with it. They've gotten the old guys who are never going to help them are out of the lineup. I'd play Oscar Mercado every day. I'd try to settle on somebody else in the outfield. Maybe Bradley Zimmer when he's back healthy. Maybe it's Bowers, maybe it's Naquin, somebody else, but find some young guys to ride with and hope that a Bauer trade, can give your lineup a jolt. But I do think any talk of a quote tear down beyond that level is crazy to me at this point, because at the worst, I think this could be a blip year that sometimes teams in the middle of a good run have a bad year. But, you know, they were poorly constructed in the offseason, and I don't think that means you have to tear down your house. I think you have to fix your house. But I would not I think it would be silly for the Indians to give up on themselves at this point, you know, when you're still basically a 500 team in the middle of June.
Tell you what, and Doug LaMaurice joins us on the show. I agree with you. I know that Lyman does. Lyman played that out yesterday, and I thought it was a really good thing. However, there's always going to be the question of Francisco Lindor and that hanging over their heads. Should they take it to the umpteenth hour or the 11th hour where it's just like, okay, let's see if we can make something work while we have Francisco Lindor, knowing that, yeah, it's probably impossible you're able to sign him for a long-term deal and that you would have to move on after the, 2021 season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I would at least push it longer than this. I would not want to get out. I mean, like, that's why it's just crazy to me to even ponder it now. I think you get at least another year and a half out of him. You ride through this year and you ride through next year. And again, if you build this, if you construct this roster more equitably next offseason, instead of having all this invested in pitching and nothing in the lineup, I think you can get back to being a major player again. And to give up on Lindor, for what? I don't understand it. And I'm not an expert enough to know, well, if you deal him earlier, how much more would you get than if you deal him in his last year? But I just think that I get that you're not going to re-sign him, but to give up like 2.5 years before he's a free agent, I don't know what you're doing. A year of Francisco Lindor is worth a mint. So I think you have to give another best shot at this with the guy who's one of the best players around.
I agree, and there's another part of it, Doug, where I'm afraid of the fan reaction. The fan reaction has been overwhelmingly negative to them this year. If they were to move Francisco Lindor before that 11th hour there, right before he would be set to be a free agent, I shudder to think of the ramifications within the fan base, because while we want to argue about professional baseball and the money it still makes, because of their contract with television, they are still a ticket-driven team, and they have not been able to draw a lot of people to the park.
And I've gone back and forth on this, but there was a time when I thought trade Joe Thomas, that, I said trade Corey Kluber, get these superstars that if you're not winning with them right now, trade them to try to help make yourself better across the board. But I do think there is value in the performance of an elite individual. And of course the goal is winning, but even if they're not winning, there is value to the franchise and to the fan base to get to watch Francisco Lindor play baseball in the uniform of your favorite team for another 260 games. And so to completely turn your back on that, again, I think is silly, because when we all look back at our memory banks, yes, you think about the championship parade and you think about the playoffs, but people also tell stories about watching great players, especially in a place like Cleveland where there haven't been championships. So that's another year and a half of saying, I remember when Francisco Lindor did blank. That's worth something. Yes, you want to win, but Jim Thome and Omar Vizquel and all those guys never won a World Series here, and people tell stories about them. Don't deny yourself that because you're so hell-bent on trying to prepare for a rebuild that you are going to jump start early.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the hotline. Let's switch gears to the NFL, and it looks like today, not only Duke Johnson, but yes, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be there with the Browns. Is that the end of any of the Odell Beckham stories when it comes to what he's going to attend and what he's not going to attend?
It has to be, right? I mean, what else can we say? Like, I'm assuming he's going to be there for the opener against the Titans, and anything other than that, like, I'm good. So I think the whole thing is nuts. The guy's been awesome on the field. You know, to be so wrapped up with him practicing in the spring and summer to get ready to do a thing that he has proven he can do very well. I hope this is it.
Were you not buying the argument that it sounded like Freddie Kitchens was a little annoyed by the end of last week? Do you think it's just the media that he was annoyed by? Because I thought he gave other answers to other questions and then kept coming back to Baker not having his guys there, and some of that was unprovoked. I misread it. If everybody thinks that was just him being annoyed with the media, I thought he seemed like he was maybe a little annoyed that he didn't have his guys there.
No, I was there when Freddie was saying that, and then I wrote about it this weekend. I do think he was annoyed. I agree with you. I don't think it was just he was ticked at the media, but like that doesn't bother me, because it's okay to tick off your boss a little bit. And, like, maybe Odell Beckham isn't the teacher's pet, but he's the smartest kid in the classroom. So, like, do you guys are really good at your jobs, right? Do you ever tick off your bosses?
All the time.
Do your bosses then hate you, or do they say, man, those guys, they're a pain in the butt sometimes, but boy, oh boy, are they good at their job?
It just depends on what you're worth. I honestly, Doug, if you're worth your distraction, then it's okay. He's got to prove that he's going to be worth his distraction, because I don't think that Dave Gettleman's the biggest idiot in the world. He obviously traded a 1,400-yard wide receiver because he feels that there are some problems. Now, I also think that some people, just like you, I think some people have made too big a deal about it, because if it's provided in the collective bargaining agreement as voluntary, I think that people, just like in any line of work, if it's voluntary, that means they'll volunteer to come in, or they'll volunteer to not come in, and they'll take days off that are required or that are provided to them.
I do think Dave Gettleman's the biggest idiot in the world.
Hello there.
I mean, like, you know, like, oh, well, if Dave Gettleman traded him, there must be something wrong with him, is not a, like a line of thinking that I'm going to buy. So,
well, no, I believe that he believes that. I believe that they believe that. And that would be something that probably rubs, maybe makes a Browns fan a little bit afraid of what the future is, where he's still obviously a very talented wide receiver.
He's never, when he's been on the field for the 5 years that he's been in the NFL, he's been as good at his job as anybody in the league. So that's what I care about, and that's what I'm worried about, and I've said it written a couple times. If you can show me a moment in the fall where him missing an OTA in May affected him, show me. Show me the pass he dropped. Show me the route he ran poorly. Show me the timing that was off against the Titans because Odell Beckham wasn't here in May, and I'll buy it, and I challenge you to find that moment.
All right, thank you very much, Doug. Appreciate it. Something we'll certainly continue debating maybe till today. Maybe it ends today finally. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right, there he is. Doug Lemaurice joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I have some reaction to that because I disagree with something he said at the end of that, and we'll get to that right after this from Jeff Thomas here on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.